Go over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Now, not only do I have a New King James here, I have a John MacArthur Study Bible New King James. John MacArthur is a prolific Bible teacher. He's very studious and very knowledgeable. Now, what you have to understand about John MacArthur is he's a Calvinist. And Calvinists don't believe the Bible. Calvinists believe in a false doctrine, and it's described by Tulip. One of their biggest problems is they don't believe in free will. Another thing they teach, though, is they teach that Jesus Christ did not die for everyone. They teach that Jesus Christ's death, atonement, only applies to certain people, only to the elect, which is a wicked false doctrine. And there's plenty of verses in the King James. I mean, you basically just let the King James Bible fall open. I could probably find you a verse that contradicts that, okay? But some of them are so clear, like in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9. This is a great verse in your King James Bible. Give me 1 second, just flip. I want to read it too with you. But it says very clearly, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. That's his case closed. He tasted death for every man. Now let's read what this says. New King James. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. Might taste death for everyone. Maybe. We don't know if he'll taste death for everyone. Well, then John MacArthur explains. He puts in bold, he has a commentary here, and he puts in bold, taste death for everyone. He's going to explain what that means. Everyone who believes that is. That's what he says. The death of Christ can only be applied in its efficacy to those who come to God repentantly in faith, asking for saving grace and forgiveness of sins. So when it said taste death for everyone, he says, well, it's not everyone. It's only those that believe, though. The Bible says that he tasted death for every man, period. Why? His death is sufficient to pay all sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible makes it crystal clear that he died for everyone. I don't want a John MacArthur study Bible to tell me how I cannot believe in the Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And these subtle changes, even in the New King James, I mean, it'd have been a little bit harder, I think, for him to say, well, every man there doesn't mean every man. Even though he still did it with everyone. I don't know how he's, I mean, it's not that much different, but he still said it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, here's what would be a seemingly subtle change to some, but then listen to how he's going to explain this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's read in verse number 18. The Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. So the Bible says when we preach the gospel, when we preach the cross to those that, you know, understand it, it's the power of God. It gets them saved. And notice they are saved. Past tense, it's happened because they believed in Jesus. The New King James in verse number 18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. He says that they're being saved. How are you being saved? Like part of you is saved, but not all of you is saved? Or how are you going through that process of salvation there? They twist it. This is what he explains in his commentary about this verse. Being saved. Every person is either in the process of salvation, though not completed until the redemption of the body, or the process of destruction. One's response to the cross of Christ determines which. To the Christ rejectors who are in the process of being destroyed, the gospel is nonsense. To those who are believers, it is powerful wisdom. It's not even powerful like to get you saved. It's just wisdom. It's just a good idea. And you're in the process. I'm not in a process of salvation, my friend. I'm saved. I've become born. You know, it's not really a process on the birth. It just comes out, you know. And then it's not like I'm still in the process of being born. That would be awkward. That would be weird. It happens in a moment of a time, okay? And then after you've been born, you're born. Hey, I've been born again. I've been sealed under the day of redemption. I'm saved. I have the Holy Ghost, you know, sealed inside my heart. There's no process here of my salvation. And they want to twist the Bible and turn it into something that it's not. It's wicked what these Bibles do. And look, I've heard whole sermons dedicated to the verse I just read to you. I've heard whole sermons about how where there's this process of being saved. That sounds confusing, doesn't it? Well, here's another one. Let's make this manifest, because this is a wicked Bible. Matthew chapter 7. And you know what? The New King James, a lot of verses say the same as the King James, or relatively similar. But some of these changes, you know, frankly just piss me off, and they're bad. They're bad translations. They're wicked, and they imply a works-based salvation. Now, this one is one of the worst. Matthew chapter number 7, and let's look at verse number 14. The Bible says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The Bible says that salvation is a straight gate, meaning that it's narrow. It specifically says narrow is the way, because there's only one way to heaven, that's Jesus Christ. Now, listen to what these Bibles say, though. It says in verse 14 of the New King James, which is not the King James, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. It says that it's difficult to be saved. I don't think there's nothing that I've done that's easier than getting saved. Amen. I mean, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ likened unto eating a piece of bread, to drinking a glass of water. You know, I've never had a job where they gave me a task that was easier than getting saved. Getting saved was so easy. It wasn't difficult. It's not hard. It's narrow, though, because there is only one way. Now, listen to John MacArthur's commentary on this verse and tell me that it's just semantics. Christ continually emphasized the difficulty of following him. Salvation is by grace alone, but it is not easy. He says it's not easy. It calls for knowledge of the truth, repentance, submission to Christ as Lord, and a willingness to obey his will and word. How is that grace? How is that faith? He literally says you have to do everything to get saved. That would be difficult. If I said, hey, you want to get saved? Do everything in this book. Whoa, there's some hard stuff in there. There's some difficult stuff in there. Yeah, it is hard to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's for the few. Yeah, there's not many that actually care about the Bible enough and want to serve God enough and want to try and clean up their lives enough. You know, there's so much distraction out there with all the money and lies and smut today, and it traps people and they get deceived by sin today. Yeah, I get that. But you know what? That has nothing to do with going to heaven. Going to heaven is easy. It is simple. It's just by faith in Jesus Christ and this wicked book. And John MacArthur is a devil. John MacArthur is a wicked false prophet that's going to split hell wide open. And you know what? This Bible is trash. And anybody that has a John MacArthur anything should just burn it.